is risen. He is risen indeed. Welcome to our Easter Sunday morning service, our call to worship taken from Matthew. Now after the Sabbath, as the first day of the week began to draw on, Mary Magdalene and the other Mary came to see the tomb. And behold, there was a great earthquake, for an angel of the Lord descended from heaven and came and rolled back the stone from the door and sat on it. His countenance was like lightning, and his clothing as white as snow. And the guards shook for fear of him, and became like dead men. But the angel answered and said to the women, "Do not be afraid, for I know that you seek Jesus who was crucified. He is not here, for he is risen. As he said, come, see the place where the Lord lay, and go quickly and tell his disciples that he is risen from the dead. And indeed, he is going before you into Galilee. There you will see him. Behold, I have told you." So they went quickly from the tomb with fear and great joy, and ran to bring his disciples word. And as they went to tell his disciples, behold, Jesus met them, saying, "Rejoice!" So they came and held him by the feet and worshipped him. Then Jesus said to them, "Do not be afraid. Go and tell my brethren to go to Galilee, and there they will see me." Our first hymn is from the Hymns of Family of God, 298. Lo, in the grave he lay, Jesus, my Savior, waiting the coming day, Jesus, my Lord. Up from the grave he arose, with a mighty triumph for his foes. He arose a victor from the dark domain, and he lives forever with his saints to reign. He arose, he arose, hallelujah, Christ arose. Vainly they watched his bed, Jesus, my Savior. Vainly they sealed the dead, Jesus, my Lord. Up from the grave he arose, with a mighty triumph for his foes. He arose a victor from the dark domain, and he lives forever with his saints to reign. He arose, he arose, hallelujah, Christ arose. Death could not keep his prey, Jesus, my Savior. He tore the bars away, Jesus, my Lord. Up from the grave he arose, with a mighty triumph for his foes. He arose a victor from the dark domain, and he lives forever with his saints to reign. He arose, he arose, hallelujah, Christ arose. Hymns for the Family of God, 292, Because He Lives. God sent his Son, they called him Jesus. He came to love, heal, and forgive. He lived and died to buy my pardon. An empty grave is there to prove my Savior lives. Because he lives, I can face tomorrow, because he lives. All fear is gone, because I know He holds the future, and life is worth the living just because He lives. And then one day I'll cross the river, I'll fight life's final war with pain. And then as death gives way to victory, I'll see the lights of glory and I'll know He reigns. Because He lives, I can face tomorrow. Because He lives, all fear is gone. Because I know He holds the future, and life is worth the living just because He lives. Hymns for the Family of God, hymn number 291. Thine is the glory, risen, conquering Son. Endless is the victory Thou o'er death hast won. Angels in bright raiment rolled the stone away, kept the folded grave close where Thy body lay. Thine is the glory, risen, conquering Son. Endless is the victory Thou o'er death hast won. No more we doubt Thee, glorious Prince of Life. Life is not without Thee, aid us in our strife. Make us more than conquerors through Thy deathless love. Bring us safe through Jordan, where to Thy home above. Thine is the glory, risen, conquering Son. Endless is the victory Thou o'er death hast won. Our scripture reading is taken from the book of Job. For I know that my Redeemer lives, and He shall stand on the earth. And after my skin is destroyed, this I know, that in my flesh I shall see God, whom I shall see for myself, and my eyes shall behold, and not another, how my heart yearns within me. Hymn number 268, Hymns for the Family of God.
Jesus, Thy blood and righteousness, my beauty are, my glorious dress. Midst flaming worlds in these, arrayed with joy, shall I lift up my head. Bold shall I stand in that great day, for who ought to my charge shall lay, fully absolved through these, I am from sin and fear, from guilt and shame.
Our New Testament reading is taken from 2 Corinthians. For we know that if our earthly house, this tent, is destroyed, we have a building from God, a house not made with hands, eternal in the heavens. For in this we groan, earnestly desiring to be clothed with our habitation, which is from heaven. If indeed, having been clothed, we shall not be found naked. For we who are in this tent groan, being burdened, not because we want to be unclothed, but further clothed, that mortality may be swallowed up by life. Now, he who has prepared us for this very thing is God, who also has given us the Spirit as a guarantee. So we are always confident, knowing that while we are at home in the body, we are absent from the Lord. For we walk by faith, not by sight. We are confident, yes, well pleased, rather to be absent from the body and to be present with the Lord. Third and fourth verses of hymn number 268. Lord, I believe thy precious blood, which at the mercy seat of God forever doth for sinners plead for me. In for my soul was shed. Lord, I believe we're sinners more than sands upon the ocean shore. Thou hast for all a ransom paid, for all a full atonement made. Let us pray. Our Father and God, we praise you and thank you that Jesus Christ is risen from the dead, and that he is presently sitting at your right hand interceding for us. We thank you and praise you that because he is ascended into heaven, you sent your Holy Spirit to be our comforter, and that he indwells every one of your children. We thank you and praise you for your word, which is sharper than any two-edged sword, able to divide the thought and the intent of our hearts. We thank you, Father, for the hope that we have, and our hope is a hope that will not disappoint. We praise you and thank you that you've given us the church, and that we are to minister one to the other, that the church is given to us so that we might see the person of Christ and the work of the Holy Spirit as you mold us and shape each one of us into the image of your Son, and that each one of us exercise the gift that has been given by the Spirit, that we might minister one to the other. We ask that we would serve you with joy, and that we would enter into your courts with gladness. We ask, Father, that during this particular time, when we are in our homes, that you would give us the opportunity to minister to other people. And Father, that we would spend those moments that we have that we didn't have before because we were busy, that we would spend that time praying, that we would intercede for our neighbors and intercede for those who are making decisions. We ask particularly that you would give wisdom and discernment to those who are in the medical profession as they are stressed and they are overworked. We ask, Lord, that you would be the one who administers your mercy and grace in all of these matters. We thank you that we may rest in you, and that Jesus Christ has promised that he would never leave us nor forsake us. In Jesus' name, amen. Proclaiming that Jesus the Christ is risen from the dead is the call of the church throughout the year. When Paul proclaimed the gospel in Athens, he preached Jesus and the resurrection so much, the Athenians thought Paul was preaching multiple gods. The philosophers that encountered him
said, "What does this babbler want to say?" And other philosophers said, "He seems to be a proclaimer of foreign gods, because he preached to them Jesus and the resurrection." The Athenians were confused, which is regrettable, but it's instructive to us. For Paul, the great theologian of the cross, the message of the resurrection was supreme. The resurrection message is good news, for it proclaims that Jesus is alive. The tomb was empty. Jesus appeared to Mary, Peter, Thomas, the other disciples, and 500 at once. Jesus is the same yesterday, today, and forever. The Easter message is good news, for it proclaims a risen Savior. Our sins have been forgiven, for all the decrees against us have been nailed to the cross. The Father has set his seal of approval on the crucified Lamb of God. Jesus has been raised from the dead for our justification. The Easter message is good news, for it proclaims a glorious hope. Death has been conquered. Jesus is the firstborn from the dead and is alive forevermore. And we, who are his brethren, share in his inheritance, and we will be alive forevermore. The Easter message is good news because it proclaims a present power. The risen Savior is with his people today. Here in our present lives, we may begin to share in the risen life of Jesus. In our present moments of weakness, the transforming power of the resurrection may cause us to rejoice as God molds us into the image of his Son. The resurrection is more than a past event and a future prospect. It is a present reality. Let us consider the resurrection message of good news as Paul speaks of it in the last few verses of 1 Corinthians 15, which read, "Now I say, brethren, that flesh and blood cannot inherit the kingdom of God, nor does corruption inherit incorruption. Behold, I tell you a mystery. We shall not all sleep, but we shall all be changed in a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, at the last trumpet. For the trumpet will sound, and the dead will be raised incorruptible, and we shall be changed. For this corruptible must put on incorruption, and this mortal must put on immortality. So when this corruptible has put on incorruption, and this mortal has put on immortality, then shall be brought to pass the saying that is written, 'Death is swallowed up in victory.' O death, where is your sting? O Hades, where is your victory? The sting of death is sin, and the strength of sin is the law. But thanks be to God, who gives us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. Therefore, my beloved brethren, be steadfast, immovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, knowing that your labor is not in vain in the Lord." Our meditation today will be structured on the three uses of victory in this passage. The first is death is swallowed up in victory. We cannot enter the kingdom of God as we are. We must be transformed. As we are mortal, corruptible. Let us consider some of the evidences of corruption: grief, pain, sorrow, old age, and ultimately death. The best evidence for sin is the graveyard. The consequence of sin was death. According to Paul in Romans, all creation waits for the redemption of sons. Creation was subjected to futility, and in that subjection, creation waits to be delivered from bondage when we receive the adoption of sons, which is the redemption of our body. This is a fulfillment of the Old Testament. For God in the Old Testament said that God would swallow up death forever, and that the Lord God will wipe away tears from all their faces. The rebuke of God's people he will take away from all the earth. For God himself, the Lord, has spoken. Death and Hades will be cast into the lake of fire, into the abyss. And we are those who will be delivered to the kingdom of God. When Jesus puts an end to all rule and all authority and power, it will reign, and the last enemy that will be destroyed is death. The second, O death, where is your sting? O Hades, where is your victory? The victory over death is not limited to the future, for the future has invaded the present. The beginning of the end has already set in. Death can be mocked as a defeated enemy. The sting of death is not a mild irritant, but it is the sting of a scorpion resulting in destruction and death. The sting of death is identified as sin. God had told Adam in the garden that Adam would surely die in the day that Adam ate of the tree of knowledge. Adam, partaking of this tree, sinned, and death entered into the world. And Paul reminds us that the wages of sin is death. Death has its sting, but the strength of sin is the law. The sting of death is sin, but the strength of sin is the law. Paul writes, he says, I would not have known sin except for the law. I would not have known covetousness unless the law had said, you shall not covet. But sin, taking opportunity by the commandment, produced in me all manner of evil desire. For apart from the law, sin was dead. I was alive once without the law, but when the commandment came, sin revived and I died. And the commandment which was to bring life, I found to bring death. For sin, taking occasion by the commandment, deceived me, and by it killed me. We must remember that sin is a schoolmaster that leads to Christ. That sin is broken. The power of sin is broken because of the work of Christ. Christ says to us in Matthew 5 that he did not come to destroy the law, but he came to fulfill the law. And the writer to the Hebrew tells us that the old, that is the Sinaitic covenant, the law, is becoming obsolete. It's growing old. It's ready to vanish away because a new covenant has come, and that new covenant is in Christ. The old covenant has been fulfilled. It has been fulfilled in all of its parts. This brings us to the third. The victory is through Jesus Christ. As was said, Jesus fulfilled the law. This is evident as he says to John the Baptist, I need to be baptized by you, and are you coming to me? Jesus replied, Permit it so now, for thus it is fitting for us to fulfill all righteousness. Jesus' baptism was for us. You and I cannot be baptized by John the Baptist, but it was the last piece of the Old Testament law. And Jesus must be baptized to fulfill all righteousness. Jesus was self-conscious of fulfilling the Old Testament law. As he hung on the cross, he cried out, I thirst. And he cried out, I thirst, as he hung on the cross, so that the scriptures might be fulfilled. Jesus took the penalty of the law. He knew no sin. Therefore, death had no claim on him. Death is a consequence of sin. And death had no claim on Christ, for he knew no sin. But the scriptures tell us that he became sin for us and redeemed us from the curse of the law. How did he become sin for us? He was nailed to the tree. As Paul tells us, that he was cursed because one who is hung on a tree is cursed, according to Deuteronomy. Jesus then became the perfect sacrifice, a man with no sin, death having no claim. He became the curse when he was nailed to the tree. Therefore, he took the penalty of the law. Having fulfilled the law in all of its parts, he then took the penalty of the law. And Jesus was raised from the dead by the Father. Jesus now sits at the right hand of the Father, interceding for us. This victory is not only a hope of transformation when Jesus returns, but a present reality. That Jesus is risen from the dead and interceding at the right hand of the Father gives us great encouragement. As Jesus said to Martha, "I am the resurrection and the life. He who believes in me, though he may die, he shall live. And whoever lives and believes in me shall never die. Do you believe this?" There are consequences. There are consequences to death's destruction. There are consequences to the fulfillment of the law. There are consequences that Jesus is alive and seated at the right hand of God. The consequences for us are that we live in hope. Our hope is that we shall be like him, for we shall see him as he is. How is he? Consider where Jesus is and what is his position. He is our elder brother. He is the one who has called us out of darkness into his light, and we share in his inheritance. When we see him, we will see him as he is. And as he is without sin and unable to sin. We shall be without sin and unable to sin. That is a great hope. Present consequences, we need to understand that the Lord will reward his servants. We are in the process of storing up treasure in heaven. We build on the foundation of Christ, but what we build on him is wood, hay, and stubble, or gold, silver, and precious stones. We are building, or as Paul says in Philippians, we are establishing a bank account in heaven. We will be rewarded by the King of Kings for our faithfulness here on earth. As a consequence, we are to remain steadfast, immovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord. For our labor for the Lord is not in vain. Christ tells us that a cup of cold water given in his name has eternal significance. A cup of cold water given is not what's important here. What's important is that the cup of cold water is given in his name. That brings the eternal significance. We are his servants, and whatever we are to do, we are serving the living King of Kings and Lord of Lords. As Jesus said in Revelation, he was dead, and now he's alive. He holds the keys of death and of Hades. There are consequences. Paul writes and he says, "For me to live is Christ, and to die is to gain." Death has no more victory. Sin has no more power. Christ is King of Kings, and he reigns. Our hymn of response is Victory in Jesus, hymn number 82, in Hymns for Family of God.
Savior came from glory, how he gave his life on Calvary to save a wretch like me. I heard about his groaning, of his precious blood's atoning. Then I repented of my sin and won the
Now may the God of peace, who brought up our Lord Jesus from the dead, that great shepherd of the sheep, through the blood of the everlasting covenant, make you complete in every good work to do his will, working in you what is well-pleasing in his sight, through Jesus Christ, to whom be glory forever and ever. Amen.